Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning with our good friend and tech guru, Jesse Feiler. Jesse is going to talk to us this morning about technology and home automation. He is a developer, consultant, and author specializing in Apple technologies. He is the creator of Minutes Machine for iPad, the meeting management app, and Saranac River Trail app, a guide to the trail that includes location-based updates as well as social media tools. And apropos of the conversation that we are having this morning, he's also working on a book about HomeKit, which we'll talk about a little bit more, and all of the other things that do similar services for you. Good morning, sir. How are you? Good morning. Always nice to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
Why do we need this stuff?
That's a very difficult.
I didn't mean to start off that hard.
Why do you need this stuff? That's a question that can be asked of any new technology.
Sure.
Beginning with the horseless carriage and, you know,
yes,
radio and so forth.
Absolutely. I remember, not to apologize for interrupting, but I remember us asking this question a few years ago when the iPad came out of why in the world do you need the iPad? And now, as a person who would not be able to live without his iPad,
I can remember even,
and I'll know why,
even longer ago than that.
Yes.
Really long ago, when we were all wandering around saying, what in the world is the use of putting a camera in a phone?
And now, you know, we wouldn't be able to live without
That's so you can take photos of people using iPads and email them to your mother, who will respond with 5,000 photos of grandchildren.
Yes, it's a vicious circle. Mm-hmm. So what are these devices that use voice and web commands and apps and such? How do they help us in our lives?
How do they? Well, the advertising for them, first of all, and I think this is very interesting, the advertising for them shows you and describes how you can use these devices to turn on the lights in your house.
Yeah.
Isn't that? That's wonderful. You know, you can go to the hardware store and for $2.79 buy a light switch. Or you can purchase one of these items, and they range the Amazon and the Google entries. Amazon is priced at around $179, $87 to $179. We think Google will be the same price. It's not shipping yet. So you can go to the hardware store and $279 buy a light switch. You can go out and buy one of these. You can buy a phone. An iPhone will let you control your lights as well. And that, if you want to buy it outright, will be like $300. So all of those things let you turn on your lights.
There's
a range.
They do other things, too, of course.
And it's the other things that are the important issues.
All right, so let's get to that. Now, the one I have seen advertised more than any other is the Echo. That seems to be just advertised beyond belief. So is that the most popular at this point?
That's the one that just came out.
Okay, so that's the one that's out and is sort of leading the way?
All three of these.
Okay.
The Google Home, which has been announced and demoed but not shipping yet.
Okay.
Amazon Echo, which is shipping now. And the HomeKit, Apple HomeKit things, which have been shipping for 2 years but sort of at a low level. All of those will let you control your light switches with your voice or with an app or over the web. You'll also be able to do things like schedule when lights go on and off and things. So it's not just the switch. It's building intelligence into the way it works.
Okay.
And the big difference on this, and this answers the point about what else they do, if you were going to start doing home automation, using technology to turn your lights on and off and so forth, what would be the first thing you would think of doing? How would you implement it? Most people would say, because we've seen this with burglar alarms, security systems, is some gizmo in the house that you go to this control panel and touch buttons and the lights go on, the alarm goes on or off, right? That's
yes.
A gizmo.
Right.
That's
a gizmo.
The first point of these things. But all three of these companies, Google, Amazon, and Apple, decided not to build a new gizmo. What they did was to look around and say, most people don't need another gizmo in the house.
Right.
Believe it or not.
Well, and there's duplication, right? You don't want to duplicate what you already have in your phone or your iPad or wherever.
So the three companies looked at gizmos that you might already have and looked and to see how they could integrate home automation with things people already have.
Okay.
Google and Amazon, they looked at speakers. And they realized that they could add to speakers voice activation, some of which was already there with speakers, and certainly sound. And so they built, and speakers are connected to the internet for many people because they're not wired anymore.
Sure.
So wireless speakers are sitting out in homes and offices around the world, and you can build a home automation interface and slide it into something people already have, or a technology they already have, and they just upgrade it to the newest speaker plus home automation. So that's sort of where they went. Apple went a different way. They didn't go the gizmo route. And they added it. The gizmo for them is in the cloud.
Hmm.
But with all of these, the home automation is a service that integrates with your digital resources like your music, hardware like a phone or a speaker, the web, all sorts of things. So that's what it is. It's putting home automation in this digital environment that people have with their phones and speakers and whatever.
So let me give you what I think to be an example, and you tell me whether this is a correct example or not. So if I have my phone and I'm out and I'm on a city street, I'm on 43rd Street in Manhattan, and I say, "Hey Siri, where's the closest place that I can get a piece of pepperoni pizza, a slice of pepperoni pizza?" And if all's going well, Siri will respond with a couple of options. If I'm home in the home automation, can you help me, not Siri in this case, but another disembodied voice, and say, could you help me turn my coffee maker on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you turn, make sure that the lights go off at 11:30 tonight?
Yes.
Okay. And that is all something that can happen with these various devices.
Yes, in various ways. But the key thing is that from the technology point of view,
yes,
the question, where can I get a slice of pepperoni pizza?
Yeah.
And the question, can you turn the lights on at 11:35? That is the same question from a technology point of view.
Now, does it matter where I ask it? In the sense of, if I ask my phone, if I say to my phone that I'm on 43rd Street and I forgot, I'd like to make sure that the iron is off, or I want to make sure that the lights go off, can my phone trigger the home automation, one of these devices that is in my home?
Yes, although not all of them do it right now.
Okay.
But the phone knows where you are.
Yes.
So, and all of these have...
Oh, I know it knows where I am. Yeah. Never gets too far away, does it?
But the point is that all of these have the voice recognition capability, and they have... The key component here is that all of them have... your data. That's the key component here.
And they store that data. And that data obviously matters.
It matters because if for all of them, and again, not all of these pieces are in all of them yet, but this is where everyone is going. So if you are on 43rd Street eating a slice of pepperoni pizza,
yes,
you can say, would you remind me when I get home to buy more napkins or something?
Okay.
You know, or to do the laundry if you've had an accident.
Yeah.
The
pizza goes on the shirt.
Yeah.
You want to get the stain out. Sure.
Yeah. So you could say, what is a good way of removing stains?
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is artificial intelligence and what we call intelligent assistants.
Now, there is a, with a phone, in most cases, with my phone, it's very personal. It's mine. It's my phone. It's my contacts. It's my number. It's my email. It's my pictures. It's mine. In a home automation system, it would seem it would be more family oriented. It would be my wife. It would be children if we had them. We don't, but if we did, or other people who are in the home that would use it, right? So it doesn't know the difference between me and my wife. Doesn't know my difference if you come over. Is a understanding the difference between Joe and Jesse.
That's a question. That's interesting. It depends how it's implemented.
Okay.
And the devices themselves, the Amazon Echo and the Google Home that is not out yet, are the heart of it is this device that's in the home so that anyone can access it. The phone, you're right, is a personal thing. And how the borders are set up in such a way, if you want to say, you want your wife to be able to turn the lights on in the living room, but you want to be the only one who can open the garage door, you can set that up in some of the systems, and eventually you'll...
I'm power hungry, aren't I?
eventually you will put this aside and sit down with your wife and discuss these issues.
Both we can both open and close the
and
garage
decide
door.
Decide what to do. But the point is that the borderline between a device that is centered on the home or centered on the person is different. But all three of these are basically centered on the home.
So besides, you mentioned a price point of whatever, $179 or so. So if I go out and I buy one of these and I bring it home, besides the, because I feel my phone is, that's a little money generator for Apple every 5 seconds, because I'm always getting apps and mm-hmm. music and games and things that are important that I can't really think of right now because I don't usually get important things, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So how do they make money off this?
Do you think that the purpose of home automation for these companies, Amazon and Google and Apple, might be to make money rather than to improve the world?
I'm sure it is to improve the world, but if you can make a buck, why not?
Okay. I already told you. All of these devices can play your digital assets, which used to be called music.
Yes.
And most of the time, those digital assets wind up either through one of these three companies or through a third party like Pandora or something. But it's a way of managing and accessing your digital resources, and that's one way they make money.
Okay.
Another way they make money is by licensing pieces of the interface, and I don't think we know much about this. It's happening, but it's going on somewhere. But the other money generator piece of this puzzle is that when you go out and buy whatever it is you buy, a phone with HomeKit or Amazon Echo or Google Home, and you come home and you say, okay, Alexa or Google or Siri, please turn on the lights in the bedroom. Nothing is going to happen.
So,
because you think that the bulbs you bought 10 years ago in the dime store are still going to work and are going to work with this thing.
All right.
You need some new bulbs. Now, they're usually digital and they have, they're the most advanced bulbs and many of them have Wi-Fi built into the light bulb. So, and they're going to last for 15 years. So it's a totally different market, but everything is changing. But you're going to buy the light bulbs and the music.
Now, we always talk about Amazon's a great example. You go on Amazon, and they'll tell you, given there's that algorithm that given whatever you've purchased, they know, what you eat for breakfast as a result of that. Clearly, since you've bought two Joyce Carol Oates books in the last 8 years, you like Wheaties. I don't know how they figure that out, but they figure that out.
Everyone knows that.
Yes, sort of a rule of thumb. So I can only imagine that how many times I use my toaster or my light bulbs or what I purchase is all data that is available to somebody to purchase to find out more about my complicated life.
Bingo.
All right.
But we have to bear in mind that there's a difference between the way these three companies deal with data, and that has turned into a very, very important difference. And that revolves around the fact of whether the companies sell your data. So whether, you know, General Mills, I think, makes Wheaties.
Yeah.
Whether General Mills can find out, does Joe Donahue read Joyce Carol Oates, is a different question from what we call anonymized data, which is to say, how many people in the Albany area read Joyce Carol Oates? That's anonymized data. But drilling down to the individual is something that people are very sensitive about, and there's a lot of discussion about this. And a lot of cynical people think that, you know, there's no point worrying about privacy because the NSA is already there and they know what you're eating for breakfast. But this is a very, very hot issue.
Now, we're out of time, but okay. but just very quickly, so can I opt out if I don't want them to know that information?
I think you can with everyone. But it's an opting out, and you it's worthwhile if it concerns you, and it should concern everyone. Look at the there's things you click through when you install something.
Yeah.
And just okay.
Actually read it,
and see if you or read some other articles and see if you agreed with the privacy policies of these companies, because all three of them are different.
Well, it is fascinating stuff. You have a great. Information up on your website, northcountryconsulting.com. Great links that folks can read more about this. Jesse Fowler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. His website is northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
Good to be here.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.